We need people who are well-educated enough to know what the Constitution means, what it says, how its principles work.
Dr. Robert George of Princeton University talking about his presentation on the Constitution and civic virtue at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We need people who are willing to fight for those principles, to call out politicians, whether they're liberal or conservative, whether they are Democratic or Republican, when they transgress against the Constitution. We need a people who are fit for liberty and fit for the rule of law under a Constitution like ours, a Republican polity like ours, established under the Constitution. So I'm really going to be talking about civic virtue and its relationship to constitutional structures and principles.
You can meet and hear Dr. Robert George at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
One being liberation theology. In other words, Jesus was a revolutionary. And a Christian is to revolutionize society. That the job of the Christian is to liberate society from the powers on earth that are oppressing humanity. Everybody understand that? So that's liberation theology in a nutshell. Savior theology is a different type of theology. The job of the Christian is to go out and save these individuals who are behaviorally deficient. In other words, we're to bring them into the church, these individuals who are doing all of these evil, sinful things, and heal them and save them. And then once we've saved them, we've done our jobs. And to me, anti-racists fundamentally reject savior theology. That goes right in line with racist ideas and racist theology, in which they say, you know what, black people, other racial groups, the reason why they're struggling on earth is because of what they're behaviorally doing wrong. And it is my job as the pastor to sort of save these wayward black people or wayward poor people or wayward queer people. That type of theology breeds bigotry. And so to me, the type of theology of liberation theology breeds a common humanity against the structures of power that oppress us all.
That's Ibram Kendi, author of Be Anti-Racist and How to Be an Anti-Racist, speaking at a Manhattan church. Well, he's very clear there. The classic teaching that Jesus comes to save sinners is anti-racist. And if you're going to be an anti-racist, you cannot accept it. You have to otherwise choose what he calls, and others, many others have called, liberation theology. So how does a Christian confess the faith once delivered to the saints? That is, well, in Kendi's words, a savior theology, in a world that is increasingly accepting liberation theology and the cultural Marxism that lay behind it. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about cultural Marxism in our series, part four. Today, Christians confessing in a woke world. Pastor Paul Dare is our guest. He's senior pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Minnesota. He recently concluded a Bible study series on godless religion. Pastor Dare, welcome back.
Todd, thank you for having me.
Tell us about a recent video from anti-racist activist Ibram Kendi, who is author of many books, but his probably best-selling one is How to Be an Anti-Racist, and what he had to say about Christianity.
Yes, I was blessed this last week to have an article forwarded to me by my district president, who knows I've been working on these matters for a while. And the article was in the American Conservative, written by Rod Dreher, who a lot of people know from the Benedict Option. And what Rod had done is he saw a video of an interview with Ibram Kendi. He was speaking more at a conference. And for those listeners who don't know, maybe I should say who Ibram Kendi is. He is a leading anti-racist. And so if you were to go to any college required textbooks of these courses, Kindi would be at the top of the list, along with Robin DiAngelo right now, who wrote White Fragility. And Ibram Kendi, he is what's called an anti-racist. And again, don't just to define what that is beforehand for you if you're wondering what anti-racist means. Anti-racist means that you have to dismantle the entire system of racism. So in other words, it's not enough to say, I'm not a racist. It's not enough for a Christian to say, I believe that each person is created by God, that each person is loved by Him, each person thus has dignity, each person Jesus died for, and thus each person should be treated with care and respect. That's not enough. You can't do that. If you do that, you're still part of the problem. To be an anti-racist means that you have to actually dismantle the systems that really govern all of our society, at least right now, because all of those systems are based upon racism. That's what anti-racist is, and Kendi is a leading anti-racist. Well, in this particular interview, what makes it so interesting is one of the things that I've been working on is to diagnose this cultural Marxism from a Christian point of view. But in this particular case, he was asked a question from the audience about how the church can be involved in being anti-racist. And then he made a distinction in this, that the church really has two separate theologies going on. And he talked about one. And the first one he talked about, he said, in a lot of Christian churches, they have what is called liberation theology that comes out of the 60s in many ways. And the idea of liberation theology is that Jesus is a revolutionary. That's a key word. And by the way, liberation theology has its home in Marxism. The scholars who created this particular theology, James Cohn, a reverend, one of them, actually his whole point was to incorporate Marxism into the theology of the church. So when I read you what liberation theology is, you should be thinking Marxism, because the entire definition is Marxism with the name Jesus tossed in. Liberation theology is that Jesus is a revolutionary, and that the job as a Christian is to revolutionize society and liberate society from the powers on earth that are oppressing humanity. Now, that right there is pure Marxism. What are Marxists after? They're after a revolution that brings about a new earthly utopia of equality. And the job of the Christian then is, well, it has nothing to do with sin or grace or salvation. It is to liberate society from all of the oppressing powers. All right, he says, so that's one, and that's good in his mind. He says the other type of theology in the church is what's called savior theology. All right, now what is savior theology? In his words, savior theology is, and I'm quoting, to go out and save these individuals who are behaviorally deficient. And I kind of like those words, behaviorally deficient. I was thinking my next confession and absolution, I'll put in there that we confess that we are behaviorally deficient. I'm joking, of course. But then, in other words, then what the church does is we go to these individuals who are doing all these evil things, and we heal them, and we save them. And once we save them, we've done our job. And again, that last part, I'm quoting Kendi himself. And then what he says is this particular theology, where people are called from their evil deeds and are, quote, healed and saved, this goes right in line with racist ideals and racist theology. Let that sink in. That if the church is about calling people from their evil, healing them, and saving them, that goes right in line with racist ideals and racist theology. Why is this? It's because what that is the church telling people that the reason they're struggling is because of their own sinful deeds rather than the oppressive power structures. And then the church is then standing above people, telling them, quote, they're bad. And I'm going to quote Kendi here, that type of theology breeds bigotry. All right, so now you back up for a second. You think about what it is that we're trying to do as God's church. What he's saying here is the very ministry of law and gospel, repent and believe the good news, in and of itself is racist. What we would say is the ministry that saves souls for eternity. He's actually turning this whole thing around and saying what we do is actually quite evil, as it is breeding racism and further oppression. You are not responsible for your actions, thus the call to repentance itself is probably racist. Because really you're simply a victim of the system. And unless the church gets into liberation theology, this savior theology, as he calls it, is simply another form to perpetuate the evil oppression that all of society is a victim to. And I'll add one more thing. You know, this goes right back to what Antonio Gramsci, the father of, you know, the modern cultural Marxism, and Marx himself would say about religion, specifically Christianity. What did Gramsci write in 1916? But socialism is precisely the religion that must kill or overwhelm Christianity, depending on a translation. You know, so you take a look at that there. In other words, this is not me critiquing their, if you will, so-called theology, because this is this liberation theology is kind of funny in the sense that, you know, Marx is a famous atheist, but how do you get this Marxist thinking forward for those who want to have some sort of religious aspect to it? Well, liberation theology is your ticket. But you take a look at this whole thing here, the, if you want to call it the enemies of Christ and Christianity, maybe they understand us better than we understand them. And that's something for Christians to wake up to. Marx has that famous quote, you know, religion is the opium of the masses or of society. And what is he actually saying there? You know, a lot of times Christians, we get stunned by that little quote. You know, he's calling Christianity a drug or something, and that's right, but what is he actually saying? He's saying that you are oppressed. You're suffering. You may not even know you're oppressed, Todd, but you are an oppressed, you are a suffering person. And so what do oppressed, suffering people do? Well, they have to numb their pain with a drug. They take to the bottle, they take to drugs to numb the pain. And Marx is basically the first one saying you need to get off of drugs. And Christianity is that drug that people go to numb the pain of being oppressed in his mind. So he's saying, say no to drugs, say no to God, get off the drugs, wake up, and together we can fight the oppressor. And it's interesting that not only is Christianity the drug, but Christianity to Marx, to Ibram or Ibram Kendi, we are the oppressor as well. And so that's what we're looking at here. And it was a fascinating article, I thought, that I'd bring to people's attention simply from the standpoint that, hey, those who are on the cultural Marxist side of this, they understand how Christianity is simply not compatible with Marxism. And do we as Christians fully understand that as well?
So, in the context of cultural Marxism, what would you say to someone, given that we've heard from a primary source in cultural Marxism, that he believes that his anti-racist viewpoints are completely incompatible with the very heart of the Christian faith? What would you say to someone who's a Christian who says, yeah, but we can still kind of pick and choose the tenets of anti-racism and incorporate it into our Christian worldview? How would you respond to that?
I would think that would be nearly impossible to do, because what you're talking about is, like you said, the very heart of Christianity. the very heart that we are by nature sinful and unclean. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He has given to us the ministry of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. When you cannot so much as call someone to repentance without then being racist or oppressive in doing so, depending upon who we might be speaking to, we have a problem. When it is that the very system or structure of the church that God has created is in and of itself part of the problem and oppressive, we have a big problem. Even the fact that you could argue Jesus not being Lord or Savior, but a revolutionary who's come not to bring us into the kingdom of his Father, but to bring us into a heaven on earth, we have a problem. We don't confess Jesus the revolutionary. We confess Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. That is our confession. And it'd be very hard to pick and choose. Now, can Christians recognize that there are people who are oppressed? Absolutely. Can we recognize that there is racism? Absolutely. But the way that we go about solving the problem is yet also completely different. In other words, what I would suggest that Kendi is doing is trying to solve the problem of racism with more racism or counter-racism. Combating, quote, whiteness is kind of a big phrase today. We would want to say, hey, we just keep going back. I mean, what's beautiful about this, Todd, is that we as Christians, we have this absolutely beautiful solution given to us by our God. That, yes, each person has value, and thus we should treat each person as such, as one who's created and redeemed by God. If we stay right there, that's going to lead us to what is blessed and loving and caring actions. In fact, you take a look at the early church. I mean, who were the people who were standing up for those who were on the margins of society? Who was taking care of the widows? This was the Christians that were stepping. The church was doing this. Now, where we fail to do this, we need to repent. But what I'm trying to get at is the point simply being that even the solution, we have a different solution than what a cultural Marxist may have. It's not to pit one group against another to solve the problem of oppression, but we would approach it from the standpoint of loving a soul as Jesus has loved us. That's how a Christian approaches.
Does it also help us to understand cultural Marxism as a quasi-religion, to have its advocates say, yes, there is a theology that's compatible with our Marxist worldview, and it isn't Christianity?
Well, I think it is helpful to some of them, you know, henceforth the liberation theology. Being an atheist like Marx, that doesn't necessarily, if you will, sell with major portions of the population. You can also take a look, of course, Gramsci, in the quote that I had earlier for you. Gramsci actually says that Marxism is the religion. I mean, it's fascinating that the religion that must, if you will, supplant, kill, or overwhelm, again, depending on your translation, Christianity. And then, of course, you know, as I mentioned earlier with James Cone, the father, in some ways, of black liberation theology, worked also with Cornel West, who you'll see on TV from time to time, is well another scholar. I mean, they worked very hard at this. In fact, I'll give you a quote here. In something called The God of the Oppressed, Cone said that Marx's chief contribution is his disclosure of the ideological character of bourgeois thought, indicating the connections between the ruling material force of society and the ruling intellectual force. Marxist thought is useful and attractive because it allows black theologians to critique racism in America on the basis of power and revolution. In other words, what I'd simply say is there's a very, very intentional act here that took place with Cone and Marxism to merge Marx and Christian theology. To do this, if you will, calling Christian theology poor theology, I would add, but this particular theology to, if you will, get it to the masses, to make it palatable.
Pastor Paul Dare is our guest. It's part four of our series on cultural Marxism. Today we're talking about the Christian's confession in a woke world. We'll get to that question on the other side of the break, especially since cultural Marxists are certainly confessing boldly at every opportunity themselves. After that conversation concludes, Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be with us. We will continue our series on the book of Proverbs, today Proverbs chapter 21. Then Mark Hemingway of Real Clear Investigations joins us to talk about the New York Times shift in journalistic standards.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
How should Lutherans respond to the assertion, "Your church is too Catholic"? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joshua Pauling traces his path from big box evangelicalism and Reformed Calvinism to the treasures of historic Christianity found in the Lutheran Church, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Hosea with rebels, Samaria's calf reaping the whirlwind, exiled from the Lord's land, and days of visitation. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
We're discussing the Christian's confession in a woke world with Pastor Paul Dare. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues Etc. Four Views on Jesus is the theme of the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. It contains columns from Issues Etc. guest Arthur Just, Jeff Gibbs, Peter Scare, Matt Harrison, and Gene Edward Veith. The Lutheran Witness is available in print and online. For more information, visit lcms.org/witness or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, Interpreting the World from a Lutheran Perspective, the Lutheran Witness Magazine. Pastor Dare, how does the Christian counter-confess in a woke world? Because the woke and the cultural Marxists are certainly confessing boldly at every opportunity.
Well, of course, that's always going to start with Jesus. To understand that Jesus has overcome this world. I mean, we have, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and then we have our resurrection celebration of our risen Lord on Sunday. To understand that Jesus Christ has overcome this world, then what does Jesus say? Take heart. Take heart because of it. To have courage to say that the worst this world can do, well, how did Luther put it? You know, take they our house, good fame, child, or spouse, though these all be gone, the victory has been won. The kingdom's ours forever. That in Christ, understand, we win. He's won the victory for us. We start there. To have courage, we want to make the confession just as comfortably as a Marxist does, and they do. They move. I had a story of an acquaintance of the family this last week, where a mother was looking forward to her college daughter, very close to, coming home for a break. And as soon as her college daughter was home, her daughter started in on really all the tenets of Marxism and how her mother and father's values were wrong and bad and terrible. And she just opened it up, and then next thing you know, she's spending days in the basement of the house, what should have been a joyous time, but immediately came home and started proselytizing, if you will, not knowing it, not having the name, but proselytizing in the name of Marx. They're very bold, going from one place to another, and people can't get enough. Ibram Kendi, I mean, really, he's being invited to business after business, tens of thousands of dollars for every time he speaks. All right, so where else do we get this? We start with Jesus. We go into Scripture. And we can take a look at, say, oh, I don't know, Jeremiah, where God said to him, get yourself ready. He said, stand up and say to them, whatever I command you, don't be terrified by them, and then a little bit of law, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. And you hear that fortified city, that iron pillar, that bronze wall. In some ways, you know, you think about Jesus Christ, where he declares that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. This is who we are. And then we make our confession. What is that confession? In one way or another, whether it be with an individual or, say, before a school board, really it comes down to, I'm going to keep saying three things. One, that in a world that categorizes people and assigns them value based upon their gender, race, etc., as a Christian, we teach the immense value of every person because each person, and I hate to sound like a broken record, is created and redeemed by God. Thus, we fight real racism by loving each person as God loves us. That's one part of our confession. Another part of our confession is where cultural Marxism teaches that man can be his own savior. You know, they reject sin. You can be your own savior, and we bring about heaven on earth by a political system. As Christians, we confess that sinful people make this impossible, and that salvation is found in heaven through a Savior from sin, and his name is Jesus. And I would say the third basic confession for responding to Marxism is in a world that punishes and banishes so-called sinners through the cancel culture, we believe that each person is redeemed through receiving the forgiveness of sins and repentant faith in Christ. That there is forgiveness, there is grace, the heart of everything that we are in the Lord. And if we could have those three things kind of in our heart and mind ready to go, particularly as a response to cultural Marxism, then we have, if you will, the basis of our confession. And I think maybe, Todd, the next time we talk, maybe we can talk about where these confessions can be made, and maybe some more specific places and ideas on how to do that.
Pastor Paul Dare is senior pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Minnesota. He recently concluded a Bible study series on godless religion. Pastor Dare, look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you so much, Todd.
We will be in Proverbs 21 in our series on the Book of Proverbs with Pastor Jonathan Fisk of the Mad Christian next.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS Worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more on how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're looking for a good Lutheran church in Scarsdale, New York, one that has sound teaching based on the Word of God and takes pride in the confessions, look no further than Trinity Lutheran Church in Scarsdale, New York, where every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. we have Bible study and Sunday school, followed by the service at 10. Again, good liturgical confessional worship by the grace of God. Find us at trinityscarsdale.org.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.